You know, Fanny Crosby that wrote that song, she was at an orphanage. And she was able to feel one of the young men's face. And as she felt that young man's face, she went home that night. She wrote that song, Rescue the Perishing, because she thought her heart went out. And my, did she write some good songs. And she's one of my favorite songwriters. And she knew what she was writing about. Amen. I like those that knows what they're writing about. You know, Brother Eric was talking about in his Sunday school class, taking the name of the Lord in vain. I think a lot of our songs, these new contemporary things, and so I think they defame the name of Christ. And, you shouldn't change. We should not be changing what we know is true to allure the lost. But what we need to do is proclaim what we know is truth and change the lost. Amen. They must change if they want to come to God. We don't change God to get to them. They change to come to God. And that's something that we missed. It has been good to see you. See you this morning. We've been gone all week. And it's been a good week. It's probably gone as fast as any that I've been to, and probably went as about smooth as any that I've went to. And so I was thankful for that and appreciate all that helped and all that covered for us. Appreciate Brother Eric covering for us Wednesday night. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to his Sunday school lesson, you need to get on there and listen to that. He does an excellent job with that, and I've just been enjoying his Sunday school lessons each and every time. But open your Bibles, if you would, the book of Colossians. Some of the people that we see when we go to state convention, we only see once a year when we go to state convention, and some of them was coming to me and talking to me about how some of our children had changed so much. Said last time they saw them, they were down here, and now they're up here. And said some of them was talking in a child's voice, now they're talking deep voice. And said something, says there are changes that's taking place. And you know, some changes are good. This year we changed places where we normally go to. Now, the kids all really loved the food this week, didn't you guys? And Miss Buffy, too, she was just head over heels about it. But anyway, it wasn't bad. I thought it was good. I just ate everything they put in front of me. That's just the way I do it. But, of course, it shows, too. But anyway, all jokes aside, everything was really good, and it was a different place. And we had to change, but everybody, I think, pretty much voted to go back there. And the point I want to make is some changes are good, some changes are not so good. I've seen some things that's changed, and I've been so disappointed in some changes. The changes we've seen in our country breaks my heart. Changes that we've seen in our church breaks my heart. Changes that we've seen the world and families break my heart. You know, so many families are not families anymore. And sometimes I have parents come and want me to try to communicate to their children for them when they've don't even know how to talk to their own children. And I think what a shame that is that you can't even communicate to your own children. But in the book of Colossians, there was, Paul wrote to the book, to the church of Colossia. There was some heresies going on there, some false teachers. And there was a fellow servant of his, Epaphras, had come and told him of a lot of teachings, some Gnostic teachings. Now, just to kind of breeze over and make it quick, they believed that God was good, everything else was evil. So therefore, they didn't believe that God would actually take on a human body like the incarnation that the Bible teaches, but they taught that he was just a spirit. He wasn't actually flesh. And so they had several other things to teach, and they also taught that a deeper revelation of understandings would bring you into salvation, not Christ alone, and that eventually you could become a small god yourself. But anyway, all this heresy Paul got wind of, and so he wrote. And I want to concentrate on two or three verses, but I want to go ahead and read a few verses if you don't mind. Let's begin reading in verse number 10, or verse number 9. He said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," that's all the things going on, "do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Now I want you to notice the next three verses. I'm going to concentrate on them, but I want to read beyond them for just a few comments. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Now, preeminence means very first place, number one. "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would go with us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to see and understand, Lord, how you've changed us. Lord, you changed us by a new birth. You changed us by creating us into a new creature. Lord, you've changed us by adding into our old sinful nature a divine nature. And Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to see that some changes are good. And Lord, those who are saved, they should be able to identify some changes in their lives. And Heavenly Father, if they don't have the Spirit of God that leads them, the Spirit of God within them, and as Romans 8:15 tells us, that causes us to cry, "Abba, Father." If we do not have the Spirit, your Spirit, that witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God, Lord, let us realize that those that are without the Spirit of God are not his. And Lord, I pray that you would awaken our eyes and our minds to this morning. Let us see and let us glorify you for some changes that you made in our life this morning. We pray as we get into the Word of God. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Those of you who are saved, I wonder, and I spoke to the young people this week for just a moment over there in closing a prayer, and I told them that we need to understand how privileged we are. If you're saved, your worst day is better than the best day of someone who's not. I don't know what we may go through and things that we may face, but I'll say this. The Bible says, "Happy are ye, O Israel." And the reason why they were happy is not because of the circumstances they'd went through, but because they'd been saved by the Lord. And therefore, if you've been saved, you ought to learn to be happy in all situations, content, have joy that comes from your salvation, even if you can't rejoice in the circumstances that you're experiencing. But also you need to understand this. You need to understand that as a saved person, there ought to be some changes in your life. I've always been a believer of this. Now, I've seen some people that has went out and made a profession of faith and went out and lived a life all their life, alienated. And then they die. And everybody starts grasping at straws. But I'm honest with you. I don't believe that someone can get saved and not have changes in their lives. Doesn't mean that you can't fall along the way. Doesn't mean that you can't sin. Doesn't mean that things can't happen. But I believe there's changes. It's just like he was preaching this morning or teaching this morning and whatever, both goes together so well. But if you are saved and someone's using God's name in vain around you, there ought to be something that stirs within you. When I'm around it, usually I'll just tell them, I said, if you don't care, I really appreciate you not using that language. And most of the time they won't. And I remember one time they asked me, I had some people here that was on a bowling league. And someone got sick and they asked me if I would come and fill in. And so I went and filled in and I knew all of them except one. And he didn't know me, and so we were bowling, and he was using God's name in vain as cursing. And I just went to him, I told him, I said, I would really appreciate if you don't mind not to use his name in vain. I said, I don't know what you think of him, but I said, it really bothers me to hear that. And then one of them went over and said, well, that's our preacher, and so he come over and apologized. He said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you was a preacher. I wouldn't say it. I said, if I didn't hear it, God still hears it. And you know, it wasn't long until he was here at church. And wasn't long he become a member of the church. And he served the rest of his life here. But you know, what we need to understand is there needs to be some changes in lives. And you ought to be able to identify some things. And so this morning, I want to look at some changes that God made in us. Look back in your Bible, if you would, and notice in verse number 12. First of all, let me say this. Paul emphasizes everything that was made by Christ, for Christ, and he is to be the head of everything. He is to be first place of everything. When the Bible says that when sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And when sin reigns into death, grace reigns into eternal life. What he's meaning is this. You put a different king on your throne. Before you get saved, you're on your throne. Flesh is. You could even say the devil is on the throne. But when grace comes in, grace allows Christ to sit on the throne because everything you are, everything you will be, everything you have now received, all changes that has been made is because of him. And therefore, he is due preeminence in our lives. So let's look and keep your Bibles open just a moment, and let's look at some things that he has done in changing us. Now, notice if you would in verse 12, he said he has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, without him doing it, it can't get done. People says, well, let's have a sinner prayer. Pray after me. That sinner prayer can't save you. Only the Holy Ghost of God can make a change in you. And so therefore this morning I want to look at some changes. And I want to share some changes. If you've been saved, I want to show you some changes that have been made in you. First of all, let's see where you were. It's always important. If you ever find yourself complaining, stop a minute and realize where God found you and where he's brought you to. And think about how he's changed some things in your life. Look, if you would, in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Just a couple books, chapter 2. Notice if you would in verse number 1. The Bible says there, and you hath he quickened, means be made alive, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. Did you know that before God changed you, you were dead in trespasses and sin? Now let me say this. Everybody listen to me. If you're here and you're not saved, as we speak right now, you are dead in trespasses and sins. You say, well, preacher, I'm just as good as someone else. No, there's none good. You're barking up the wrong tree if you plan on trying to get to heaven by your goodness. You're going to fall short. You're dead in trespasses and sin. Everyone is born dead in sins and trespasses. And I believe there comes an age where you're accountable unto God for your soul. And when the Holy Spirit of God has awakened you and convicted you of your sin, I believe from that point on, if you die in your sins, you will stand accountable for God. The second thing I want you to realize, in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, the Bible says that we have been separated from God because of our sins. You need to realize. I have people tell me this all the time. Oh, well, preacher, I'm not saved, but I pray to God every night. That may be the way the world looks at it, but God says you can't pray to him. You're separated from God. You might say, and the only prayer, I really believe this, the only prayer that God hears of a sinner is someone crying out to him for salvation. Anything else, you're a sinner, he's a holy, just God, and he can't look upon you because your sins have separated you from God. Only one that can bring us together is Christ Jesus. So therefore, you are not only dead in sins, you're separated from God. Number 3, look if you would in John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Notice if you would, let me turn, I turn to Romans chapter 8. Look if you would in verse number 44. Ye are of your father the what? And the lust of your father ye would do. Did you know before he changed you? I've heard that people say, well, preacher, we're all children of God. Not true. Until you've been saved, you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. Look back, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 2 again. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice if you would, in verse number 2, wherein in times past you walked according to course this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in children of what? So number 1, you were a child of devil. Number 2, you were a child of disobedience. Look at number 3, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of what? Even as others. So do you understand that not only are you a child of the devil, not only are you a child of disobedience, you're a child of wrath. What does that mean? The word wrath means God stored up anger. And it means that if you die in your sin, he's going to pour his anger out upon you because you have rejected his gift. Somebody said, well, salvation is simple. Well, it's simple to those who believe, but for those who don't believe, it will be the Achilles heel that will cast them into hell. And it won't. And God, by the way, this loving God that the world proclaims would not do something like that. As contrary, look if you would in Ephesians chapter, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Before we got changed, we were all right here. It said in verse number 8, inflaming what? Fire, taking vengeance on them that what? Know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with what? From the presence of God and from the glory of His power. Somebody said, well, Aaron, this world wants you to believe. And all these sympathetic worldly churches wants their congregation to believe that God is so full of love that He would never allow someone to go to hell and cast someone into hell. But He says, listen, not only would He do them that way, but He would have done us that way had we not been changed. Before God saved me, I was on my road to hell. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, when the Holy Spirit of God woke my conscience and soul to the fact that I was lost, there were several nights that, boy, I'd lay in bed and I'd get fearful. When a storm would come up, I'd think, boy, if I died, I'm going to hell. Somebody said, well, I don't believe God scares you. Well, I tell you what, hell scared me. And to know that I was headed that way, and if I didn't change, and something didn't change in my life, that I was going to die and go to hell. And my friend, if you're sitting here this morning unsaved, or if you're listening to me out there and you're not saved, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, if you died in your sins, you will face hell. And it will not be a hell that will be temporary. It will be eternal, everlasting destruction. Amen. Now, look back in your Bibles, Colossians chapter number 1 again. Now, thank God. All this changed for me in Sinking Creek Baptist Church years and years ago on a Sunday night. When God got a hold of my heart and I stepped out, some things changed in my life. Number one, look if you would in Ephesians chapter 2 again. And notice in verse number 5. Or let's go ahead and read verse 2 and 3 again. It says, and wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of all our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherein He had loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive, together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so what he did was, thank God He has saved me. Thank God He has made me meet for the inheritance by saving my wretched soul. I was dead. Now, look if you would in John chapter 10, if you would, in John chapter 10. Notice if you would in verse number 28. The Bible says, and Jesus said, I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now look here. I went from being dead in sins to having life, everlasting life. Never to die again. Never to be considered dead in sins in God's eyes. No more. Not only that, but notice you would in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, where I was separated because of my sin, notice what Christ has done for me. In verse 6, and when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for, in verse 7, chapter 5 of Romans, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were what? Reconciled. That means brought back together to God by the death of his son, and much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Look back, if you would, in verse 1 there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So now, where I was separated, I was not only dead and changed into life, I was separated because of my sins. Now I've been reconciled back to God. Now I have a relationship with God. Now I have the ability to go into him in the presence. Look, if you would, in John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. In John chapter number 1. I thought the fellow that preached this week, when he's preaching about the gospel, I thought that was one of his best messages this week. But it takes more than hearing the gospel, it takes receiving the gospel. And he emphasized upon the point of receiving. And look, if you would, in verse 12. But as many as received him, that's Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. In Romans chapter number 8, notice if you would in verse number 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. So now look here. He took me from a child of the devil. He took me from a child of disobedience. He took me from a child of wrath, facing the wrath of God. Now he has made me a child of God. He has adopted me into his family. Now, not only that, where I was going to hell, now look, if you would, in the book of John one more time, in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And by the way, I was thinking as Brother Eric was covering taking the Lord's name in vain. I believe that things are taken in vain more at funerals than anywhere else there is. I believe there's times when there's no evidence, no works, no nothing. And I know one time I sat and I talked to a guy and he told me he was lost and he needed to be saved. 2 weeks later, I was picking him up on the side of the road where he'd been killed. I'll never forget going into that funeral service. There was about 250 people there, and probably 150, 175 of them had never entered a church door in their life. And I'll never forget the guy stood up there, and he said this. He said, he was an example for you all to follow. He's up on heaven's streets playing his guitar. I thought, how sad. Lies from the pulpit, lies from prophecy. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In verse 1 and verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Turn, if you would, to chapter 17 real quickly. Chapter 17. Notice, if you would, in verse number 24. Everywhere else in the Bible, Jesus always says this. Father, not my will, but thine be done. This is the only place where Jesus said, this is my will. Look what his will is. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So look here. He's changed me, and he took me from a road to hell. Now, when I die, I'm going to heaven. He's made a change. I'm no longer that person headed to hell. Now I'm going to heaven. I'm justified. I've been made right before God because of Jesus Christ. And so Paul was emphasizing to them, listen, you Gnostics out there that teaching that salvation is not Jesus, he is preeminent. He is all in all. He is the reason why we are what we are. Everything that's been a change in our life has been because of him. We're privileged. We're privileged because we have inherited eternal life. I don't worry about when God opens that book of life because my name's going to be there. You know why? Because of the blood has permanently left it there. Because of my salvation, my name will not be blotted out because I cannot die because of the change that God made in my life. Not only that, but notice this. I also inherited salvation. The Bible says angels are ministering spirits unto the heirs of salvation. When I accepted Christ Jesus, I went from being lost, a child of the devil, on my road to hell, I went to being a child of God, being saved. Also, I received the promises according to Galatians 3:29. I received the promises of Abraham that I'm going to a city. Romans chapter number 8, verse 17. I'm joint heirs with Christ. I inherited the glory. I will be glorified in heaven. Not to take away God's glory. But God has made it where I will share in his glory by being glorified. I will have an eternal inheritance. I will never sin. I will never ever do anything again to dishonor my Lord and Savior. I will perfectly worship him. I will praise his name throughout all eternity. And it will be my heart's joy to do so. Nothing will ever stand in my way. So we owe it all to Christ. And he has liberated us. Notice the word back, if you would, in Colossians, real quickly. Look, if you would, in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, notice not only has he made us to meet to be partakers. In other words, he made it where we could partake in these things. Notice it in verse number 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You know what the word delivered means? He's rescued us. He saved us. You know how he did it? Instantly. When the thief said Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Whenever the Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And immediately he was saved. When the Ethiopian eunuch called upon Jesus, immediately he was saved. And I'm going to tell you something else. Billy Miller in the back of Spring Creek Baptist Church, when he stepped out of that pew and he said, Lord, I want to be saved. Immediately, I was delivered. I didn't have to wait till I got home. I didn't have to wait till 2 or 3 months till I grew into it. Immediately, God changed me. I left that building a changed person. And you know, I've talked to people before that's got dementia, that don't even recognize their own children, don't even recognize their own home, don't even know where they're at. And I've said something like this, tell me when you got saved. And amazingly, they go back to the time and place where they got saved. I believe when you truly get saved, it's a place and it's a time that you'll never forget. Amen? And I'm glad that I can go back. Instantly, he delivered me. Not only that, but he did it supernaturally. Only God can do it. It was through a new birth. It was a birth of the Spirit. The moment that I received Christ Jesus, immediately I was born again. His Spirit came to live with me and has forever been with me. I was also made a new creature in Christ. Old things were passed away and all things become new. I also had a new freedom. The truth set me free. I don't have to walk around in this world being in bondage no more. I remember one time, I've shared this with you and I won't get into it a lot, but I remember one time making some people angry. They kept on me wanting me to go to one of these 12 steps Alcohol Anonymous, AA meetings. And I went and I sat there and I listened to all these, and half of them professed to be saved. And they were telling me how that they were still in bondage to alcohol. It got around to me. I said, well, thank God, the night in Sinking Creek Baptist Church that I gave my life to Christ, He set me free. I don't have to be in bondage to nothing no more. I said, if it's all right, don't bring him back. I said, it didn't take me 12 steps. It took me one step. I come to recognize Jesus as my Savior, and He delivered me. I found a new freedom. Nothing else, nothing has power over me no more because I've been changed. Doesn't mean that I won't be tempted and fall into sin, but I have within me the means and the power to overcome any temptation and sin in my life. Not only that, but these were not just temporary fixes, they were eternal fixes. When God did it, He did it eternally. I have, because of His promise, eternal life. His Spirit has been given to me. It indwells me until the day I am redeemed. I get my glorified body. Last but not least, I want you to look back one more time. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The word translation means that He put me from one place and He put me in another place. He transported me to another place. And I just want you to know, the greatest change in my life ever was the night that I received Jesus Christ. Amen. Look where He took me from. And not only me, but you too. If you've been saved, this is where you were when He found you. And look what's ahead of us. I often make this statement. I know it sounds simplified. Because of what He did, when I was there, when I looked at the world, this world was the only heaven I was going to ever know. It was as close to heaven as I would ever get. And man, this world is an evil place. But now, because of the change, I look out, and this is the only hell that I'll ever know. This is the only hell I'll ever experience. I'll not burn one hair off my body with eternal flames because of Jesus. Thank God for the change that He's made. And thank God that I have been made a new creature. And that change has taken place. Now let me ask you this. Have you truly been changed? You say, well, preacher, I made a profession, but I'm still the same. Show me one scripture in the Bible that shows someone get saved that stayed the same way he was or she was before they got saved. Everybody in the Bible always was changed. And when you show me someone who's never changed, I'll show you someone, as far as we're concerned, we don't need to be accounting them for salvation, because without works, faith is dead. And when you see no works at all, It's not up to you to make that judgment. And what you need to understand is this. A person who has been changed, been saved, there will be some changes in their life. Amen. Let's stand. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not. And you know in your heart of hearts that if you died, that hell would be your destiny. And God is dealing with you to come this morning. You ought to come. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'd come, but I'm afraid what people say. Listen, you should never be ashamed. I believe that when you really get desperate enough and you get to a place where you mean business with God, I don't believe you'll let those things stand in your way. I don't believe you'll be ashamed of Jesus, because I believe you'll see him as the only hope you have and the rescuer of your soul. And this morning, if God is dealing with your heart and the Holy Spirit of God has convicted you of your lost condition, you ought to step out and come. Would you come this morning as we sing, brother?